Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Mark Zielinski.
And I'm Rob Fanuff. So, Mark, what have you been up to lately?
Well, Rob, I just got back from a game of Triumph and Treachery, Kings of War style. So, playing Kings of War, very excited, and actually played Kings of War with somebody besides Colin in Cleveland, Ohio. It was very exciting to start planting the seed and getting this going, man. Very, very exciting. So
question number one. You actually played a game of Kings of War.
Oh, I play Kings of War in the basement all the time. I did this with actual sunlight, though.
Okay. Where did you play at?
We played at Recess Games in North Olmsted, Ohio. So, Jim, we cobbled a couple of tables together and, had a great time. So, shout out to Arden Bartlett and Jason. We played with them, and it was Colin and myself. So it was a long game, man. You know, usually Kings of War, bang, bang, bang. But in good old 8th edition fantasy format, it took 4 hours for us to finish the game. So,
what rule set? I mean, I know it's Triumph and Treachery, but did you tweak them like using the Hobby Hero podcast rules?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't bring the rules to it. Jason did. And I guess they found it up on the Mantic website, they said. So I'm going to guess the Mantic forum.
It sounds like that's probably Joe's stuff. Joe made some tweaks to some of the, so that's cool.
Yeah. To the card. So yeah, it was good. It worked well. You know, it'd been a long time since I played TNT and, so it was very unfamiliar, in the beginning, just, going with the cards. But boy, I'll tell you, that is such a fun game. You never know when your turn's coming up. You can only attack one enemy at a time, during the shooting and the melee phase. And, Colin and I had my Lesser Abyssal Gomes facing off against a troop of his Revenant Cavalry, and they just sat there for like 2-3 turns just staring at each other. And they were like 3 inches apart, but we were attacking somebody else at the time, so we didn't, We didn't want to fight each other, and they sat there till the end of the game, just staring at each other, picking their toenails. It was unbelievable. So, and at the end of the day, Colin came up 50 coins ahead of everybody else. So probably technically a draw with the game, but hey, we needed a winner. So he won by 50 points. So.
No, I don't, I didn't know you guys were playing Triumph and Treachery. I'm not sure what the win conditions are. 50, that might be a win in Triumph and Treachery. Yeah. Not sure.
So, hey, you know what? It was a good time. So, and I came in second. And the only reason he won is because he was holding the artifact at the end of the game for 500 points. So that boosted his score up. So it was a great time. And, you get those cards. It's like, oh, I'm going to charge. Oh, no, you're not. Here's this card, Caltrops, you can only go half your distance. And then it's like, oh, I get 2 coins because my guy to the right, helped out with combat. And we had a lot of treachery. There were people helping out with cards here and there. And
very little triumph and a whole lot of treachery.
Oh, there was triumph, man. I only had, I had 2 units left at the end of the game. Hmm. So, I had one. I charged in my half-breeds into a ogre warrior block, and he had the card that changed any result into a waiver. And it's like, oh, so I didn't end up wiping him out, and that cost me the game basically right there because that was a big unit. I would have gotten a lot of points for that. So, but if the game would have went another turn, I was holding onto the card that, made them stay wavered for another turn because you're drawing turns and he could have went before me again. So you never know the interaction, the back and forth, the backstabbery. It was a great time. 4 hours was a little long, but you know what? At the end of the day, it was worth it. So
what armies did you guys play?
Let's see. Colin had the undead. We played 1500 points each. So, I was rocking out my Abyssal Dwarfs. Jason was rocking out Ogres, and Arden was rocking out the Herd. So we had two evil and two neutral armies having at it. So
are you guys making progress developing the King's War community at a recess?
I believe so. That was kind of the plan. So we were talking. I know that Paul Lang is working on getting things going over there at Gamers Haven. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, hook up, transfer, move people around, whatever. So, you know, the seeds have been planted, Rob. I'm very excited.
Yeah, yeah. And my neck of the woods, things are going gangbusters. I have played 3 games of Kings of War in 3 nights with Aubrey. So she's caught the bug and she just can't get enough of Kings of War, which is apropos given the topic we're going to talk about tonight. And then tomorrow, I'm hooking up with Grant. He's a Jackson, Tennessee person who lives just 45 minutes or so away from me. Never met him before. Coming over to the house, we're going to get a game of Kings of War. And if you haven't seen his army, it's on Kings of War Fanatics. It's the beautiful Kingdoms Men army with like a war altar and all kinds of cool stuff. So super excited to have 2 beautiful armies smash each other to pieces tomorrow on the table. And like you said, just like you, we're growing every day. The community expands.
That's right. That's exciting. And so you consider those games you played against Aubrey actual games of Kings of War, right?
Well, we're going to get into it, but they were small points. And over those 3 games, I really learned a few things. And I think I even took into some of the stuff into consideration when we started our first game. And so hopefully we've got some tips to how to get, you know. And when we say playing with your kids, I'm not talking about a 15-year-old. I'm, you know, Aubrey is 7. So playing with a 7-year-old versus a 15-year-old, there's certainly some concessions you've got to make.
Oh, absolutely. So, I'm primed and ready for this topic. I groomed both of my kids up. They were the original Dice Tower kids too. So
awesome.
I'm excited. See, and those are the games I play most of the time. Now, Colin's not 8, but, you know, I mean, those are the games I play. See, so they count, Rob. So
right.
Let's get into it. So why don't you lead the way?
I will. So the very first tip that we've got, and it's the most important tip, is you have to have patience. In my case, this is a 7-year-old. She has the attention span of a gnat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What grade is she in first?
She is in second grade.
Second grade. There you go. That's right.
You know, so you just got to take things with a grain of salt. You got to move at their pace. You just have to be patient. You know, that's the very first step. The second thing that worked wonderfully is let them set up the battlefield. So I guess we started on Tuesday night, and I told her, I said, I'm going to go to the gym, going to come back in an hour. We're going to play some Kings of War. When I get back, have the table set up. So there's, you know, in our game room, there is a rack of or shelving units full of terrain. She could do whatever she wanted. Basically, I found that it kind of gave her a stake in the game because she's building the world in which we are going to inhabit.
Absolutely. And I'll back that one up because even for our Triumph and Treachery game tonight, Colin set up the terrain because the guys are like, how do you want to do it? It's like, at home, I just let him set up the board and we play. So, you know, and we're just used to doing it that way. I totally agree with that, you know. And the other neat thing is it makes them, when they get into terrain, they want to play with the terrain they built. And so I kind of skipped a step there. But, you know, when they're invested in putting the terrain on the board, that actually gets them interested in building terrain to put on the board and to see their bright, shining faces and that pride. When they're playing on a table with their terrain on it, that's something you can't beat, Rob.
Yeah, and I imagine extending that further, there's obviously the army itself. You know, we're not there yet where she's building her own army, but I can think that would be a good next step is to start building the army. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The next tip that I've got is, actually, we didn't figure this out until we started playing, but she's got small hands. This is Kings of War. We don't roll 2 dice. You roll 36 dice. So I gave her a dice cup. And that seemed to be, one, like a novel thing that she just loved shaking the dice in the cup. But two, it was a practical thing that made it actually, she could actually roll that many dice.
Right. Yeah. Dice cups are great for the little hands. And they make, you know, depending on which one they are, they make great sounds. And that keeps them entertained. And you remember Rob just said attention spans of a gnat, and he's not kidding. So
absolutely,
you know, giving them something tactile to do with their hands, even if they're shaking the dice while you're taking your turn, it keeps them engaged, you know, because you've made a little mini maraca there for them and they have a great time with it. So I totally endorse the use of the dice cup.
Yeah. And the next thing, the next tip we've got is that I found it was much easier to use a plastic ruler than an actual tape measure. Obviously, it's easier for them to handle. It's easier to read. But also, it's less dangerous for the units and the terrain on the table because you're not pulling out a tape measure and having it, you know, rapidly go back in. It's not sharp. So from a practicality standpoint, they're used to using these type of rulers at school. It made perfect sense to use this. You know, we just had a 12-inch plastic ruler, and that worked great for measuring ranges up to a point. Obviously, when you get into shooting, it, you know, you'll have to pull out the tape measure because you know you don't have a 36-inch ruler. But
that's right. And when you pull that out, you hold one end of it while they hold the other end at the base of the unit, so you can have a little control over that thing snapping across the battlefield. I've had that happen before. So, and as a matter of fact, Colin zapped his finger tonight on his tape measure. So, you know, even as they get older, everybody's had tape measure injuries, and you don't want to interrupt your game by, you know, all of a sudden your child starts screaming and the wife hears them crying and your game is over at that point. So the other one that I like too, Rob, are those small circular rulers with the flexible cloth tape. Generally those are very small for the hands. You know, the downside, they're very floppy and flexible and stuff like that, but that's also part of the charm. I've had a lot of success with those, and they like to play with them again with their hands with a little punch button, you know, and roll those back and forth. And, you know, again, they usually can't hurt themselves with those. So that's usually a good choice. So if you can find one of those.
Yeah, I think those are used for like maybe fabric.
Yeah. The ones I have actually say Games Workshop on the side. Huh, and when I used to run the hobby shop, we actually ordered some and we had our logo imprinted on the side. So, you know, they're just small circular. So if you can get a hold of those guys, those are perfect for kids. I mean, they're not the preferred thing probably to use, but the kids enjoy them. And if they break, they're cheap. So
the next thing is, and this is probably one of the more important ones, is really have them understand how the dice mechanic is going to work. you know, 3+ essentially means 3s, 4s, 5s, and 6s are good. 1s and 2s are bad. And you need to take some time to make sure they understand that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's definitely something that you need to do. And, you know, when I used to be an outrider and we used to teach games, even to adults, we had to explain it that way because everything was a 4+ to hit, 4+ to wound, you know. But you had to explain that, you know, 4+ was 4, 5, 6 is good. You know, so you have a 50-50 chance and stuff like that. You don't have to always go into the percentages, but you definitely have to make them aware of that. And if you're just starting out and you're just like have a few units and stuff like that, it's very acceptable to go ahead and just start with 4. You know, you need 4s to hit, 4s to wound when you have a couple of units set up to go through the dice mechanic with the kids, because then you don't have the variation. And that's actually kind of like the next step up for them. But, you know, if you're starting out, you know, right from the beginning, 4 up, 4 up, that's the universal teaching numbers for dice games.
The next tip is to play mirror matches. What I mean by that is to use identical lists. You're using the same list as your child. And why is that good? Well, that's good because all the stats are the same. And so there's repetition there. She hears, you know, Aubrey heard my warriors were defense 5. Well, she has warriors too. And so she starts to learn that those are defense 5. In particular, I found ogres in Kings of War work really great for that because a lot of the units are similar. They have nerve values. Hordes have, you know, 15, 17 nerve values. Their movement 6. A lot of them hit on 3s, so there was a lot of similarities between the units, so that worked out very well. The next thing is build 2 lists and let your child pick which one they want to play. Now, I know I realized I just said play mirror matches, but in my case, they were identical except for one unit. In one army, there was the Siegebreakers, and the other unit had the Hunters. And just that one little trick, you know, the blue fur-covered dudes versus the big guys with the big giant shields. It, again, kind of made increased the it increased her investment in the game, because not only were we going to play on a table that she laid out, she's going to play with the army she wanted to, you know, that she wants to play with, that she picked. And, you know, it could be for whatever reason, the way it looks, you know, the models, whatever. But so she picked, she made the good choice. She picked Siegebreakers. The next tip is have the child find and recite stats and rules during the game. So like if I'm attacking with my unit, because we have mirror lists, I would say, okay, well, how many attacks do my warriors have? Or I would say, well, do my Siegebreakers have big shield? Or what is the piercing value on my shooters? And it's just that interaction framed as a question where she's looking at her list, often looking at her list, and she's starting to see where the stats go. And, you know, she may not really understand what big shield is yet, but she knows the Siegebreakers has it.
Definitely. And, you know, we used to do that too. That was one of our teaching philosophies, was don't tell them, have them tell you. So, exactly. You know, after you do the introduction and, you know, Space Marine is strength 4, you know, and stuff like that, you ask them that question when you're working out a combat or something like that. So what's your strength? And they have to answer you, you know. So definitely try to turn it around if you can to have them tell you. And that also gives them more investment and gives them that pride again, because they're, in a way, teaching mom or dad. You know what I mean? A little bit about the game, and it lets them turn the tables a little bit. And they really enjoy that. I'm sure you saw a big smile on Aubrey's face when she was reciting some of that stuff back to you.
Well, it almost meant, she almost probably felt that, you know, we couldn't play this game without her, because she is giving us the stats. She is giving us the rules. You know, without her reading the list, the game would fall apart.
Absolutely. So, and that kind of dovetails into the next thing, which we all love as parents, right, Rob? That's right. And that is framing the stats as a math problem. You know, it's one of the big benefits I always told my wife when the kids were, you know, growing up and stuff like that. It's like they learn math. This is all about math, all about probabilities. And, you know, you get to increase the complexity of the math as they get older. You know, in the beginning, you're going to do defense 4 minus crushing strength 1 is, you know.
Right, and then have her answer that question. She says 3, and then maybe down the road you say, okay, you hit on 3s, but you're hindered, so that means minus 1, and, you know, and just work it into multiple addition and subtraction, basically.
Right, and that leads the way, you know, and then that leads towards list building and stuff like that, which you're going to get into down the road. But, you know, that's the one thing to, you know, sell your better half on, and that is, you know, all the good math skills that they're going to learn and making the hard choices and things like that. But there's definitely a lot of math in these games, and, you know, it's just really great for the kids. I loved it. I think it definitely helped my kids with their math skills.
Well, and that's the thing about her at her age. She's doing this kind of math at school, right? She's doing addition, subtraction. This is right in its wheelhouse, because that's what King's War is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the next tip is start small and add a little bit to each army for, you know, each game, each subsequent game. So like what I did was I created a core army that we used in the first game, and then I added a little bit the next game, a little bit more the next game, a little bit more the next game. And what you can do is that allows the child to build on the previous game. Because, you know, like, for example, with Aubrey, she played with Siegebreakers. Well, she's got Siegebreakers. So in game 2, she's learning. Game 3, she's played with these guys for three games. She's starting to learn what Siegebreakers are all about.
That's right. And keeping the points small is critical. And actually a lot of fun, because they're fast games, and you got to remember that gnat-like attention span. So when I raised the kids to play Warhammer 40K, because 40K we could play Combat Patrol, and it was only 400 points, and it took 40 minutes, and it was quick. You know, this is before the days of, you know, Kings of War. And Warhammer Fantasy, you know, usually you played 1,000 points, and that was a lot, you know. But, you know, if you keep the game small, it really works out well with them.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is let the game drag on.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when I started with Kings of War, you know, the armies in the box were about 625 points, roughly right around there. And that was the perfect size, you know, and so they intend for you to pull that box out, clip all the models together and, you know, throw a force down on and the field. And that was the perfect size. And, you know, that's really most of my games are under 1,000 points. So, you know, they're fast, fun, and furious, and it works great for the kids. Again, attention span, and they don't have too many units to move and things like that. It really hits every sweet spot that you need for teaching somebody.
The next tip we got is make sure you add complexity over multiple games. You know, don't throw everything at them at once. It's too much. So what I did was in the first game, we really just did movement, you know, like how do you pivot? How do you move? You know, what is at the double? That kind of stuff. And we covered, you know, melee, you know, and we even covered nerve tests. But that was it. We didn't deal with anything else. In game two, I took those existing lists, which were basically combat armies, and I added a little bit of shooting. So then we started to deal with the shooting rules. And we also added in flank bonuses and some little bit more interesting things to the melee. And then in game three, we took it a little step further. We added in inspiring, you know, having your army standards nearby. And we started to use some of the terrain rules like hindered and special rules like ensnare that the hunters have and big shield that the siegebreakers have. And then in the game four that we haven't done yet, you know, we'll start getting into combo charging and what's an individual. So the point is you want to slowly bring them into the game. And so the size of the game and the complexity of the game should expand as they have more experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Advanced Squad Leader Starter Kit series of games is perfect, you know, mirror to that too. And the kids learn the same way the adults learn, you know, like in the very first box set, it's only infantry and guns. You get the second one, you get to add the anti-tank guns and artillery. And then in the third one, the tanks finally come along. And, you know, you start with 12 pages of rules, you end up with 36 at the end, you know. And the great thing about Kings of War is the maximum number of pages, you know, it's grown over the years. At one time it was 12 pages, but you can certainly break this game down into digestible chunks. And you don't even really have to feel the need to push that fast if you think that your child needs some more time. You know, play those games with just the movement and the melee and the nerve tests, and play that several times until they're ready for the next step, you know, once you think that they're comfortable for it. So, you know your child better than anybody else. And, you know, that's the way I taught my kids. My kids played 5th edition 40K a lot, and they never read the rule book. I taught them the rules over an extended period of time so that they knew what they were doing, you know, to the point where Kylie was actually, you know, allowed to go play in the Youngbloods tournament at Adepticon. And, you know, we turned down the invitation because she wasn't mature enough, but she knew the rules well enough that the people at Adepticon said, hey, why don't you come play with the bigger kids? Cause you know what you're doing. So, you know, you just give them those chunks over a period of time. You'll be surprised how fast they learn it and how much of that they absorb and keep with them.
Yeah. And one thing you kind of touched on there too, or a corollary to that is, you know, let them see the consequences of bad strategy. You know, you don't have to overtly teach them strategy. Say, look, you want to do this or that. Let them do whatever the heck they want to do. And then let them learn what the consequences of those decisions are.
Oh, absolutely. And there's different camps on that. You know, of course, you know, when you're running demos, you know, let the Wookiee win. You always heard that. But, you know, Sam Healy from the Dice Tower, he likes to just kick his kids' faces in. So on the new game and let them learn that way. So you can go from the easy one to let them win to kicking their noses in to somewhere in the middle. Again, you know your child the best. So if you think pushing their nose in is going to make them cry and you're done, you do not want to do that. So, you know, and on the other hand, you know, as Rob, I think you were mentioning on Twitter, you know, Aubrey thinks this game is easy because she's won 3 times. So, you know, which is good because now she's into it. But, you know, it's time for you to, you know, you got to ramp it up. You got to know when to ramp it up a little bit and give them that first loss or that first combat that they take hard for making a bad decision.
Yeah. One of the things we've done is, though, is that in each of the games, the margin of victory has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. So in the first game, it was a landslide. In the third game, she just barely beat me. I mean, she had like one unit left, and I didn't have, you know, because I should say we're also only playing kill snares at this point. Really, you know, we're not ready to try some of the, you know, loot and pillage and that kind of stuff. About let the Wookiee win, I actually think you should let the Wookiee win just to get them to build up their confidence. However, you can do it in a way that you're not just rolling over. You can do it so that they win the game, but you can put your stuff in certain spots so that they are, you know, learning the correct strategy. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? You've been to a tournament, Rob, where you've had a new player before and you've taken your foot off the gas. And it is absolutely the same thing. You know what I mean? I mean, you know that you can kind of kick it back a few notches for yourself and you don't have to play your full-blown game. And you give your opponent a great game. And same strategy for your children. You know, when you're playing them, take your foot off the gas. You know, make that little mistake that gives them that flank charge so they know what flank charges are all about, okay? And stuff like that. I mean, that really helps their confidence. But you want to make sure it's not a false confidence. So, but again, you know your child the best. And you want to try to make this absolutely as much fun as possible. You know, and that's the key to everything is making it fun.
Now, a word about models and armies and whatnot. You know, one is depending on your child, you may have to be careful about what units and models you bring out there because they could get broken and it's not their fault. They're not used to tabletop wargaming, for example. They don't know how to handle models. I mean, you can teach them that, but at the same time, you know, don't put them in a position where you're going to get angry that they broke something that you probably shouldn't have gave them to begin with.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, for myself, again, you know, I'm going to reference back because I had 40K back then that the kids really enjoyed. And I found a used army with a really bad paint job on it that any 8-year-old could paint, which was perfect. It was just block colors. They were her Tiger Marines. And she liked animals. And so they were bright orange with a golden yellow on the guns, with some Dark Angels green on one of the shoulder pads. And we added tiger stripes to them. And, you know, I got a little Tony the Tiger banner I made for her Space Marine captain. And she could replicate that paint scheme when she started to paint. And she was competent enough to do it. And it was simple to knock out. And we really didn't care how bad those models got beat up. So that's a great suggestion, is if you don't want to use your own models, find a cheap set on eBay or something like that and, you know, give it to them to start off with. And the other benefit is when they do start to paint, you can strip those off for them or strip a unit off or something like that and have them start painting their army and then just kind of recycle it if you want. But I still have that Tiger Marine army. And occasionally it does come out of the box and we do play with it. So it's definitely something that's sentimental. And so if you want to do that, I think that it's a really good suggestion, you know, to just find some models you don't care about. And, you know, maybe your child will end up caring about them like Kylie does with those Marines.
Another thing is you can always go back and listen to our episode with Joe over in the UK, Poorhammer, where he built an army for really, really cheap. You know what? That's always an opportunity, you know, and maybe that's along the lines of what you're saying by buying a used army. You know, you can find things to make armies out of that, you know, are A, durable, easy to paint, inexpensive. So take that into consideration.
Absolutely. And if you get them, and if you get lucky enough to get a pre-paint army cheap, and it doesn't have to look good in the beginning, you know, because it's good for them to recognize that, you know what, these are poorly painted models. And that's one of those achievements you get as a parent when your child says, hey, we could get some better looking models than this. So mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the Space Marines I got Colin, they were all black. It was my very first eBay purchase I got. And they were the second edition 40K Stiffy Marines. And they were black with a silver dry brush. They were awful looking. Still have them. You know, but, you know, I got pictures of them playing. And that's another thing, you know, one of the other things is if you get models you don't care about, kids like to play with action figures, toys, you give them to them. And that's one of the things I would do with the kids is I'd let them play with the models, you know, not with the rules. They would just, you know, do the shoot, you know, shoot each other and they would play with them. And then the rules help them structure their play. And so they became their models. And you know what? I didn't care. That box of Marines cost me $90 and they were painted like garbage. So, but I'm the proud parent of two kids with crystal brushes. So it does get better.
Another tip we've got is make it fun. And when, and then it may sound obvious, but one of the things you can do is as you're playing the game, you can highlight little wins for the kid, or you can hype up something that's going to come into play. And oh my gosh, Aubrey, this nerve test is so important. You know, if you can just roll 7 on this, on these two dice, you're going to route this unit. You know, you can, you know, and that's especially important if you see that that your child is waning interest and you're trying to get through that end of the game. Cause that's the other thing I found is you got to finish the game. I don't like to have to quit halfway through. So if we get close to, you know, we're getting close and she's starting to, I'm just going to speed it up. We're going to finish the game. And one of the things you can help me keep interest is to make things fun by just highlighting little individual things that are important in the game, whether it's a specific dice roll or, wow, that was a really good, you know, praise, right? Really good usage of siege. I mean, when she found out the Siege Breakers gets 36 attacks in the flank, she lost her mind. She lost her mind. She's like, what? I get 36. Like, she first thing she said was, I don't have enough dice because I had only given her like 20 dice. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you're gonna need to borrow some of mine. Here's 18, you know, here's 16 of my dice. So that was awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. Highlight those little victories. And you know, one of the other things is, you know, I mean, if the game is running long and the interest is waning, you know how to take your foot off the gas and make that bad move so that they get that juicy flank and stuff like that to keep things going. And again, highlight the small victories. And especially when they're losing that first game, you know, and you know they're going to lose it because you played this game a whole bunch and you know that they're not going to win and you're ready to give them the first kick. You know, you want to highlight those small victories along the way. It's because of some great roles, but, you know, you definitely want to make it fun, 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 fun. That's what it's all about.
And what's more fun than conventions, Mark?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I wanted to bring this up because I love taking the kids to the conventions. And, you know, my kids both started going to the Origins Game Fair when they were 3 years old. And when they went that first time, they went in the stroller. We went for one day, got them used to the environment. You know, you're just chucking foam. You know, I bought them the big foam dice. You know, they were just dice chuckers having a good time. You know, that first time I took Colin, we flew paper airplanes in the big miniatures hall for a good hour, you know, while he was running down. But, you know, it was the being at the convention. And so, you know, Origins in this past year, I think, was his 15th year going, you know. So, you know, it's a family vacation for us. It's fun. The kids have an absolute blast with it. And my daughter, this is one of the other things you can do is, you know, make a special trip. You know, going to Adepticon was a special daddy-daughter time that we had. And that my wife really appreciated that. And my daughter started going to Adepticon when she was in kindergarten. And the very first time we went, I maybe saw three kids there. The last time we went, the number of children going to Adepticon is getting larger and larger every year. And you're thinking to yourself, man, you know, I don't want to bring my kids to Adepticon. But I'll tell you what, if I didn't bring my daughter with me, I wouldn't have gone to Adepticon for those 7 or 8 years in a row and had such a wonderful time with my daughter. And, you know, you can tell when they're ready. She would play with me in the team tournaments. We played in the 1,000-point Warhammer Fantasy tournaments, and we played in the 400-point combat patrols, and I took her to different art classes and things like that. And, you know, the day she came up to me and she was so excited that she was in Elizabeth Beckley's class to paint chibi miniatures, you know, that was another dad appreciation moment, you know. And when they start recognizing the people in the hobby too, you know, and you spend that special time with them, you know, she tells me to this day how special those trips are. And she's pretty angry she hasn't got to go the past couple years because of the science fairs getting in the way because she's older now. So, you know, that's some special time you can carve off with your kids. And particularly if you find it's a hard time for you to get to the conventions, it's a great way for your other half to, you know, let you go. So use that as a little tip. But the kids love going. They love the, and everybody pays attention to them a lot when they're there. Like her first year there, she got so many free t-shirts and took so many pictures. It was fantastic, you know, and the kids just have a great time. It's one of the best things I ever did. So I highly encourage you, if you've got kids, get them into the hobby and get them excited to paint and, you know, attend the conventions and soak up the atmosphere and, you know, take them to Harry Carey's and, you know, enjoy that time with your children because they are going to grow up fast. And you know what? You might as well enjoy that time playing games.
Well, you know, the other thing that's going on, too, is, you know, Aubrey's been painting since she's like 2 years old. So one of the things I'm trying to do now is, you know, review like that Mantic compendium that came out is fantastic because I can hand that to her. She can start flipping through and she can start identifying maybe an army she'd like to build, you know? So, and that's the next step. We're going to continue to keep playing Kings of War. But at some point she's going to want to stop playing. I would think she's going to want to stop playing my ogres and build her own army. And so it's her choice. And so I'm laying it out there, whatever army she wants. I've got most of them. But even if I don't, we'll go out and buy a starter box because they're, you know, Mantic Games is all about, you know, accessibility and economically feasible armies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing is if you do take your kids and there is a painting contest, nothing is more exciting for them than to see their miniature in the case. They don't have to win. It's there. And that's really exciting. And if you do bring your kids to Adepticon, they take, for Crystal Brush, they take pictures of all the miniatures and they put them all up online. And that's a great thing to share with your family back home because you have the online voting and, you know, they get to see their miniatures in the case and you can show it online. And again, it's building that pride in the hobby and, you know, helping them work on their skills and stuff like that. You know, I mean, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking your kids to those hobby seminars at Adepticon. You know, they do have beginning painting seminars. So those are absolutely perfect for your kids and well worth it. And the other thing is, Adepticon, when they're kids, will typically let you, if there's an extra seat in the class, you don't have to pay for them. They'll generally let you, you know, let them audit the class, so to speak, like, you know, you have in college. So that's really nice and, you know, really makes Adepticon, for me, stand out. I love both Origins and Adepticon. I think Gen Con's too busy. The kids get run over. There's just not enough open space and open time. So, and if you do take them to the convention, and I do this to this day, take time out for them to go swimming and, you know, do kids stuff too and wait them in and out of the convention and let them go shopping and buy some stuff. You know, nothing makes them more excited than, you know, buying some of their first hobby gear with dad or mom at the convention and they, you know, they've got it, you know, make it exciting and you will really appreciate those trips.
Or Zombicide bottles.
Oh, Zombicide. Oh God, I've got piles of those things. So, yeah, yeah. Well, see, and that's what happens. Like, my son Colin is the Zombicide champ. He won at Adepticon in the 22-man tournament, and he won at the CMON Expo, too. So you never know. Your kids will surprise you. So
that's a few tips for playing with your kids. Final thing I wanted to say was, you know what? If at the end of the day, if it's not for them, don't push them. You know, let them do their own thing. If they choose to play board games instead of tabletop war games, that's fine. You know, everybody will find their own path.
Absolutely. And that actually, in my case, you know, Colin took a nice break and, you know, we played 40K, 40K, 40K. And actually, you know, he took a little break from it. And then he found my Warhammer Fantasy models in the basement. He found the vampire counts and he's like, Dad, what are these? And it's like, oh, let me show you, son. And, you know, his love affair with the vampire account started that day. So that's another neat little tip is if your kids need the hook, leave your cool looking models out, not the good ones that you want them to break. But, you know, if they find it and they get that, they find that interest in it even on their own. And, you know, it's fantastic. But do give them a break. You know, the one thing you want to avoid is them thinking that this hobby was something they did as a child. And when they become an adult, they are outgrowing those childish things. So that's the other edge that you run. And I've been fortunate. I have not run into that problem with my son, my daughter a little bit, because I'm running into science fairs and horse riding and, you know, she's shifting hobbies and she's not as much the hobby princess as she was. Now, fortunately, she does miss it and she loves going to Origins and still playing board games and stuff. And she misses her miniature hobby. But, you know, you got to let them do those other things. And I fully expect her to come back to the hobby when she's ready. Her painting table is, you know, both of my kids have got space for their own painting table. And her spot is just sitting there waiting for her to come back. She knows it's there. So I'm waiting for her to come back and start painting again. So I do miss her as a painting buddy, though.
Well, awesome. I think that's you got anything else, Mark?
No, just enjoy it, guys. You know, it really is some special time with your kids. And, you know, if you make it that way, you know, like I said, and, you know, hopefully your better half sees it that way and you really get the opportunity to do that. And, you know, hey, the more kids, the merrier. So you'll get in more games that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, you know, we've only played the three games, but it just her smile as she's just pounding the crap out of me was priceless.
Yeah, well, and when you got multiple kids, the one milestone you'll really enjoy is when they play together without you playing Bretonians, and she's like, I finally beat him. And it was such a great moment. I will never forget it because I heard her charge up the basement stairs, and, you know, she was so happy. I don't know when I've seen her happier. So that was such a big moment in her life. But that's another pride moment for a parent, is when your kids start playing themselves. So great moment in my life. So, you know, enjoy those, guys. They grow up fast.
You're listening to Counter Charge.
I'm Ari Fanoff, and I'm here with Sparky, and we are going to do a very different review. We are actually going to do a review on Kings of War and my thoughts on Kings of War.
Fantastic. So, for those that don't know, we played three games of Kings of War in 3 nights.
Yes, that's correct.
And my first question for you is, why did you want to play Kings of War?
I don't know, because it just seemed like I wanted to play, and I wanted to, and plus you bought me that girl army, and I wouldn't have anything to do with it if I just didn't play Kings of War.
Right, so you have all these armies and toys and models that you've been painting, and Kings of War will give you something to use them for.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So we played 3 games. Kind of give me your overall impression. What did you think about Kings of War after you played it?
I think it's easy because my least favorite subject is math. And like the math in that is completely easy. As long as I have a paper beside me to do the problems, I'm perfectly fine with doing equations in Kings of War.
Right. Yeah. And so you're not a huge math fan at school. But by playing Kings of War, we're able to practice.
It kind of just makes math a little bit funner.
Right. So. Well, yeah, because when I am destroying your army, when I am taking your defense 4 and I'm crushing 3, like I'm killing you.
It's math and a game all put in one.
Right. So we played 3 games. We played with ogres, and we played pretty much the same army. However, the one big difference between our armies were...
War King has apparently had hunters, and I had the siege breakers.
And the hunters are so much better than siege breakers.
No, they aren't.
They're not?
No, because mine have, like, special rules, and they're better.
Well, hunters have special rules.
Yeah. If you're new to playing this, your models, your different sections of your armies can actually have different rules, like... Your shooters can have, like, piercing 3, and then you would have to roll 3s or higher to attack someone.
Right,
else.
So they could have, like, range 5+, which is what your shooters have, and they have piercing 2.
Yeah.
So they take 2 off of the defense of the enemy.
So basically I have to get 3s or higher.
Right. So my next question was,
That's what I'm saying with the math. Like, that's 5 minus 2 is, like, one of the easiest problems because I already know the problem plus 3 plus 2 to
right.
equal 5.
Hey, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? How old are you?
I'm 7, and I am 7, and I started playing Kings of War a few days ago.
And what grade are you in?
I'm in 2nd grade.
2nd grade. Okay. So, kind of, why don't you... We played 3 games... Why don't you tell the folks, how did the games go?
perfect for me, not so good for working, because I won everyone.
Well, maybe you just got lucky.
Yeah, especially the time when I have 18 attacks on my Siege Breakers, or I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, Siege Breakers.
But then 18 plus 18, I believe it was up in the 30s, like
the 36, yeah, because you got a flank attack, and you double your attacks when you hit from the flank.
And then War King told me when he was teaching me, if I get Snake Eyes, he gets to learn...
On a nerve test, right, and I live.
And then... But I didn't, so I basically wiped him out, and then I won every time, 3 times in a row. Because we played 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. So, did you like playing Kings of War? Was it fun?
Yes.
How about dice? I know you use the dice cup. What are your thoughts on using a dice cup versus rolling them in your hands?
Well, since I can't remember which part of my army has this, but they have 18 attacks, and it's hard. And since I'm so young, it's hard for me to get all the dice to fit in my two palms.
Right, right. Well, most of your ogre units have 18 attacks. We played some games. You had armies with ogres and a little bit of goblins. What do you think of the goblins?
The goblins are pretty cool because I like, let's talk about models. I like how they're riding those
flea bags. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Flea bags. Yeah. Cool. What about the ogre models? Did you like those?
Yeah.
And the fact that they're already painted is nice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what...
We still have to work on my girl army.
Yeah, the Basileans. What about... rather than using the tape measure, did you find using the ruler a little easier?
Yes, because since I'm so young, it is hard for me to pull it because I don't have as much strength as working because he is a grown-up and I'm a kid.
Right.
So the ruler, you don't have to pull it out because it's already just like one big tape measure out of the roll.
And I think it's easier to read as well, isn't it? What are we going to be playing a lot more Kings of War going forward?
Yes.
And you're going to lose in game 4, I think.
I don't really care because I already beat working 3 times in a row.
Right. And so what was your favorite unit in the army?
Probably the Siege Breakers or the Boomers.
The Boomers are good, too.
Yeah, because I think the Boomers were the ones with 18 attacks, or was it the Siege Breakers?
No, that was the Siege Breakers. The Boomers was a regiment. They only had 9 attacks.
But the Boomers had really good rules, so it just made my life really easy.
Right, right, right. What would you say to kids thinking about playing Kings of War?
I would say if they're still learning math and school, that this is a good way for them to sort of, if they're younger, then they can sort of get more math into their lives because it's kind of math and a game, as I said earlier.
Right. And I think today we're going to look through the rule book and maybe we'll pick out some new armies, some new units and stuff. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention, you also set the table up, right, terrain-wise.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes. A lot.
Why did you like doing that?
Because I just like setting up terrain because it's fun. And I'm like my dad, I am a very creative artist. And it's sort of like being an artist and designing a painting, except with like mini furniture.
Right. You're like making a whole city or a village or a terrain, a landscape.
There's a video game called SimCity that you can download on your iPad, your laptop, and it's basically where you can make your own person and you can get your own like.
Oh,
areas,
you're talking
like,
about cars. The Sims, right? Where
yeah.
Where you SimCity is the one where you build the actual city,
yeah.
And you're a Minecraft junkie too, right? Yeah, you don't know how to answer that yet. The answer is yes. You're a junkie. You're a Minecraft junkie. So, what else do you want to add about Kings of War?
That it's fun, and I think you should really suggest it for your kids because it's really good at math and it's easy.
All right. Well, I thank you, Aubrey. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Well, awesome. I think that's going to do us tonight.
Yeah, and if you guys have questions or comments or something, you know, email us. You know, I'm at countercharge2015@aol.com. We'll be thrilled to answer your questions. And, you know, if you're going to be at a convention we're at, you know, we'd be happy to talk to you and, you know, say hi to the kids and stuff like that. So I love having kids in the hobby. It's what I'm all about.
That's going to do it for us tonight. And until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.